All right, welcome back, everyone. All I can say about the last couple of weeks is, wow, we have been experiencing a lot of hurdles. If you're not someone that listens to me regularly, we lost credit card processing, and it has been such a struggle. And I mentioned this on the last episode, but at the end of the day, just due to how much money is involved between Big Pharma, and they get their hands into everything, including credit card processors. They don't like the research peptide space at all. And so they use what power they do have to make it as difficult as possible for companies like the Peptique to bring you all the amazing products that are honestly life-changing. They not only shut my processing down, but they also kept a big chunk of my money that was in reserve with them. It never ceases to amaze me the hurdles that keep being thrown in the path of this whole thing. What that tells me is that this is a threat. This is a threat to the way that things are being run as far as how our country views health and wellness, the powers that be, whether that be a government entity or where all the money is, like insurance companies and Big Pharma, because they want us to continue to depend on them so they can keep doing what they're doing. And it's just not working. We're getting sicker as a nation. Our health is deteriorating faster and faster. I think I went into this a few years ago really naively thinking that this is such a great thing that I'm excited to bring to people. Let me say this. I'm not giving up. We're not going away. We're going to figure out how to navigate through this. So hang in there with me. Y'all have been so incredibly supportive. I've literally just been blown away. To my school ladies at the Peptide Collective, if you're a lady and you're listening and you're not a member of the Peptide Collective, go to the show notes after this episode and there will be a link for you to join. It's free. This is a group of ladies that I've learned so much from. They've rallied around me in this difficult time and been incredibly supported. I would like to give a big shout out to all 1,200 plus of you and just say thank you. And to all my listeners, y'all have been amazing and I really appreciate your continued support. For now, we are not able to accept credit cards, but we are using things like eCheck and Zelle as long as we possibly can. We are in the process of getting a high-risk processor to get credit card processing back. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen at this point because that has equally been frustrating. But we're just going to keep moving forward. It's a shame that these types of hurdles continue to be put in the way of our ability to make our own choices for our health, wellness, and longevity. But it is what it is. I'm going to get off my soapbox and dive into today's episode. The topic is Selenq. We're going to talk about the peptide named Selenq. And I think this is where I'm at in my life right now with all the stress. This episode's been planned for a while. So I think the timing is perfect. I have actually been utilizing Selenq myself because I really have been dealing with quite a bit of stress and some anxiety with how to get through this, how to keep everything going, how to make sure that all of you are taken care of and that you feel like you're getting the information that you need and all the things that go along with that. This peptide doesn't get nearly enough attention, in my opinion, especially compared to the GLPs. So I think it's super underrated. It's a nervous system peptide. We're going to talk about Selenq more specifically in acetylselenq amidate. Sorry, that is a mouthful. It's not a stimulant. It's not a sedative. This works by studying how the brain regulates stress, anxiety, focus, and emotional balance. It is a synthetic peptide developed in Russia to reduce anxiety and stress without the side effects of traditional medications. There is some amazing research about peptides that have come out of Russia, and Selenq falls in that category. This is one of the things that I think is really cool that the Russians do. A lot of research regarding peptides that we just don't have here. It's derived from a naturally occurring immune peptide called tufsin. I'm not going to say that, so just bear with me. But tufsin is something your body already makes, and it plays a role in immune regulation and communication between the immune system and the nervous system. Russian researchers took this naturally occurring peptide, modified it, and enhanced its stability so it could have therapeutic effects on the brain. So the immune-brain connection is important. It's not just a brain chemical in the way people think of like antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs. It works at the level of neuroimmune signaling and helps the nervous system interpret stress signals more appropriately rather than overreacting to them. So what really sets Celenc apart is how it affects the central nervous system. Traditional anti-anxiety medications like benzodiazepines work by forcing GABA receptors to fire more strongly, which can calm anxiety, but often comes with sedation, memory impairment, emotional blunting, and dependency risk. Celenc doesn't do that. That's what makes it so special. Instead of pushing or suppressing neurotransmitters, Celenc modulates them. Research suggests it helps normalize GABA activity. It also supports balanced serotonin and dopamine signaling, and it reduces stress-induced excitatory signaling without overwhelming the system. This is why people often describe Celenc as, I feel like myself, just a little calmer. It doesn't shut down my emotions. It helps regulate them. It doesn't numb cognition. It helps focus. It doesn't sedate the brain. It calms it down. An anxiety medication is like hitting the brakes hard. Celenc is more like improving the steering and suspension, so the nervous system can handle stress more smoothly. And that's why Celenc is classified as a neuromodulator rather than a traditional drug. It supports the brain's existing regulatory systems instead of overriding them. Isn't that the beauty of peptides in general? It's supporting and optimizing what's already there and making it work more efficiently. It's not forcing something or blunting something, and it's just what traditional pharmaceuticals do. I think that's a really important distinction to make. Okay, so let's go through a brief history. Celenc was developed in Russia at the Institute of Molecular Genetics of the Russian Academy of Sciences. This government-backed research institution has spent decades studying peptides and regulatory molecules. This research came out of a very different philosophy than Western pharmaceutical development. Instead of asking, how do we block or suppress a symptom, the Russian peptide research asked, how do we help the body regulate itself more effectively? Celenc was part of a broader program focused on these neuropeptides. The goal was to find compounds that could reduce anxiety, improve cognitive function without sedation, dependency, or cognitive dulling. So over time, Celenc was studied and used clinically in Russia for generalized anxiety disorders, stress-induced cognitive impairment, PTSD trauma symptoms, and situational anxiety, including performance and social stress. Celenc wasn't just a lab curiosity. It was actually prescribed, particularly in the intranasal form, and used in real-world clinical settings. In Russia, Celenc has been available as a pharmaceutical nasal spray, which required safety evaluation, dosing consistency, and clinical observation. That alone separates it from a lot of these other peptides that we really don't have any human data on at all. And I don't know if this is true or not, so don't hold me to this. Someone said you can go into a store in Russia and buy this. Like, you don't have to have a prescription or anything for it. And I have no idea how their health care system works, so I apologize for sounding ignorant, but I think I heard that. And how cool would that be? We have to go through all these like underground tunnels basically to try to get some of this stuff. But there, it's like you can just go pick it off the shelf. I'm pretty sure that's true with all of the bioregulators as well. And because of all this research, we have a longer safety track record, decades of observational data, uses across different age groups and stress profiles, and history of repeated dosing without evidence of dependence or withdrawal. So that's really cool because we really do, like I said, have all these research. Another important detail is that Celenc was often used short-term and situationally, not as a lifelong daily medication. That reinforced the idea that it supports nervous system regulation rather than creating chemical reliance. So when people ask why Celenc feels different from traditional anxiety medications, part of the answer to that is the origin. It was designed from the start to work with the body's regulatory system and not override it. And that historical context is one of the reasons why Celenc continues to stand out even decades after its development. One of the questions I get, because there are several different forms of Celenc, is what's the difference? And when I was trying to decide what the Peptique would carry in inventory, I'm going to go through these and you'll know why I picked the N-acetyl selenic amidate version. So let's break down the three different forms of selenic. The base form, just plain selenic. This is a version you will often see at research peptide companies' websites. It's the original peptide developed in Russia. It's the least chemically stable. It breaks down more quickly in the body. It has shorter duration of action and often requires more frequent dosing. It works, but it's biochemically fragile. So many people find it helpful, but short-lived, especially intranasally. Think of this one as the foundation version. Then we have N-acetyl selenic. This version has an acetyl group added to the peptide. And what this does is improve stability. It slows enzymatic breakdown. It improves bioavailability and allows it to cross biological barriers more efficiently. So compared to the base selenic, this version lasts longer, feels more noticeable, and is more consistent. This is the version people move to when they say, I like selenic, but I want it to last longer so they don't have to dose as frequently. And then we see N-acetyl selenic amidate. This is the most stable and the most advanced form. It has two modifications, acetylation, which improves durability and absorption, and amidation, which protects the peptide from rapid enzymatic degradation. Together, these changes dramatically extend how long the peptide stays active. It creates a smoother, more predictable effect in the body, reduces peaks and drop-off, and often requires less frequent dosing. This is why many people describe this version as cleaner, more even, more supportive, and more noticeable. And once people tried this version, they often don't go back. It's obviously my favorite version. It's why we carry it. It's what I use. We're going to talk about that in a minute as well. To summarize, selenic works, but it's short-lived. N-acetyl selenic, longer-lasting, more resilient. N-acetyl selenic amidate, longest-lasting, smoothest, most consistent. And because selenic is subtle and regulatory, stability matters here more than intensity, in my opinion. Okay, what does the research say, though, that selenic actually does? So when you take a look at selenic, what stands out is how many systems it gently influences at once rather than aggressively targeting a single receptor. So first, selenic is known to modulate GABAergic signaling, and GABA is the brain's primary calming neurotransmitter. Traditional anti-anxiety medications increase GABA activity by force, which can calm anxiety, but often at the cost of sedation, slow thinking, and dependency. Selenic works differently. Instead of flooding the system, it helps normalize GABA signaling, especially under stress. That means calming without shutting the brain down. This is why many people say selenic reduces anxiety without making them feel sleepy or disconnected. Selenic has also been shown to influence serotonin and dopamine balance. So these neurotransmitters are involved in mood, motivation, focus, and emotional stability, rather than dramatically raising or blocking these chemicals like SSRIs or stimulants do. Selenic appears to support balanced signaling, which is why it can improve mood and clarity without emotional blunting or overstimulation. Another important area of research involves stress and cortisol. We talked a little bit about this last week with oxytocin. Selenic has been shown to reduce the exaggerated cortisol response that happens during chronic or acute stress. Cortisol isn't bad. I've talked about cortisol a lot because I struggle with it. But when it stays elevated, which is where I tend to stay in that fight or flight mode, it contributes to anxiety, brain fog, poor sleep, emotional volatility. And selenic helps the nervous system respond to stress more appropriately instead of staying stuck in that fight or flight mode. It does it in a different way than what we talked about last week. So I don't want you to get too confused. You get a very different experience with both of those, but they do help modulate or regulate the nervous system just in a different way. There's also research showing benefits for memory, learning, and cognitive performance, especially under stress. So in other words, selenic doesn't just calm anxiety, it helps preserve mental clarity when stress would normally impair thinking and focus. And importantly, across decades of use, it has not been associated with sedation, tolerance, dependency, or withdrawal. That's a major distinction here. people don't typically need to escalate doses, stopping doesn't lead to rebound anxiety, which I for sure have experienced. I've felt its calming effects, and when I stopped it, that was sustained for a while, okay? This brings us to the key difference. Unlike benzodiazepines, which suppress nervous system activity, or SSRIs, which blunt emotional signaling, Celeant acts as a regulatory peptide. It helps the brain communicate more efficiently rather than shutting down. That's why Celeant is described as normalizing, not numbing. And for people who want calmer focus, emotional resilience, and mental clarity without feeling altered, this distinction really matters. It's what makes this peptide so cool and why I love it so much. All right, so now that we know some of the things that it does and how awesome it is, who is a good candidate for Celeant? I find that people who are chronically stressed or wired but tired, that's me, have anxiety without wanting sedation, which I also experience from time to time, experience social anxiety or performance anxiety, have brain fog related to stress, like you just have so much going on that you can't calm the brain, so you just don't get anything done, are tapering off or taking breaks from traditional medication. Now, let me say, if you're doing that, you need to be under the supervision of a physician that's been working with you. Do not want to stop any kind of SSRI or anti-anxiety medication cold turkey and try to use this as a replacement. It's not a replacement. It can come alongside and be very helpful. But for people with extreme situations, I would say it's not a replacement. It's also great for people that want emotional regulation without emotional flattening. I've also seen it be really helpful, including myself, for people who struggle with calming their brains down before they go to bed, or people, again, staying in that constant fight or flight mode. I think it's also really good for situational stress. If you're just in a situation where you're experiencing situational stress, it's temporary, just grab a vial of Celeant and it can really help calm you down. I'm going to tell you about my experience with that here in just a minute. Okay, who should avoid it or be cautious? Celeant is not appropriate for everyone. If you're pregnant, breastfeeding, you want to stay away from it. People who have known hypersensitivity to peptide compounds, and believe it or not, this is a thing. I work with enough people and communicate and talk to enough people in the peptide world. There are people that are super sensitive to peptides and don't respond the same way as the masses. We're talking about this based on how most people respond. But if you're one of those people who's super sensitive, this may be one that you stay away from. Individuals on complex psychiatric medications and regimens without provider guidance, there's no strong evidence suggesting that Celeant is unsafe with an SSRI or common anti-anxiety medications. But because everyone's neurochemistry is different, I personally have learned how everyone responds to these things uniquely. You definitely want to talk to a practitioner that is intimate with your health and your situation before implementing anything like this, because there could be a drug interaction I'm not aware of, or you could respond in a way that is not appropriate. I wouldn't recommend doing that, even though I couldn't find anything in the research that suggests that's a possibility, but anything's a possibility, right? And anyone that is expecting a stimulant or a sedative effect, this is not that, although I did experience a little bit of that. But if you're used to something like ADHD medication, or if you're used to something like Xanax, this is going to feel very different than that. So it's not a replacement for those. At the end of the day, I think Celeant is really good for people that are under some sort of situational stress, or someone that just maybe has a hard time falling asleep because their brains are overactive or always in fight or flight mode. I also think it's great for people that maybe just have some very low underlying general anxiety. I think it could be good for that as well. I don't think it's great for people that have extreme anxiety, extreme situational anxiety, that sort of thing. I should say it's not good. It could be part of something you implement into your protocols, but you may need more support than just that. And I think it could be good for someone that knows that they need some emotional regulation and resilience. Okay, let's move on to a question I get all the time, because you're also gonna find in the research peptide world a lot of the intranasal application of this. So we're gonna talk about that versus the injectable format. Historically speaking, the intranasal format is the most common. It's easy to use, direct nose to brain pathway, lower barrier to entry. It can have variable absorption, shorter duration, and more frequent dosing could be required. The injectable formats, especially the N-acetylsalicylate amidate, tends to be more consistent. Injectable is often considered superior because it's more predictable, bioavailable, longer lasting, less frequent dosing, bypasses nasal degradation and loss. This doesn't mean that the intranasal is bad. It just means injectable is more reliable for people who didn't get lasting effects from the sprays. I have done both, and when I did the spray version, I didn't really get much out of it. When I tried it at a different time and I tried the injectable form for the first time, it was wildly different for me. When I was doing my research for this episode, talking to other people and reading about other people's experiences, a lot of people said that they love the intranasal form. You have to play around and figure out what works best for you, because it's like all these things, it's really, truly unique to the individual. I tend to believe everything's better in the injectable format, but if you're like totally opposed to injections or you just don't want to add another injection, you could definitely try the intranasal format first. Okay, let's talk about dosing. This is what everybody wants to know. I'm going to talk about what came out of Russia and all those studies, and then we'll talk about what's typical. So what was used in the Russian studies was about 225 mcgs intranasally 3 times a day. They did a duration of 14 days followed by a break of 1 to 3 weeks before repeating a course. Clinical research has also administered intranasal salicylate in total daily doses as high as 2,700 mcgs a day, divided into multiple doses for up to 3 weeks in anxiety-related studies. Other clinical work has used daily intranasal doses in similar ranges, several hundred mcgs per administration, 1 to 3 times daily for 10 to 16 days in these generalized anxiety and stress studies. So this reflects the range of medical dosing versus generalized wellness dosing can vary a lot. And it was intended to be a shorter course rather than continuous use. The typical research ranges you'll find in the research peptide world, and this is what I hear most commonly used, is about 250 to 300 mcgs per administration, 2 to 3 times per day. When I did the intranasal form, that's what I did. Some protocols push totals into the 500 to 1,000 mcgs daily range, pushing that intranasal dose a little bit further with really good benefits and limited side effects. You have to play around with it and figure out what works best for you. Let's move into injectable dosing. So the injectable dosing, I would start slow, 250 mcgs and titrate up. You're probably gonna wanna titrate up from that, but until you know how you're gonna respond, start really slow. I've seen protocols as high as 2 milligrams. I think that's pretty high. I think at that point you might start experiencing some fatigue, tiredness, more of that sedative effect. But again, you need to play around with it and see how it makes you feel. I would take this one at night for me, because I do have a hard time calming everything down and just relaxing at night. I have been taking this at night to calm my nerves down. And 500 mcgs tends to be the sweet spot for me. I have gone as high as 1,000 mcgs or 1 milligram. That does have a little bit of that sedative effect for me. It's also really great before you go to bed. Depending on my day, I might take it earlier in the day. If I'm feeling more anxious, let me explain. I'm not one of those people that deals with anxiety all the time. Sometimes something will happen, which I've been dealing with all this stuff lately, and I've been more anxious than I normally am. And I think I'm more self-aware in my older age of what that actually looks like. I will take this to relax in the evenings or right before bed. I might do a higher dose to help calm the brain down. But remember, this isn't meant as a long-term solution. This is a modulator. So it's going to help the brain respond more efficiently to have a lasting change in that area. So it's not like a pharmaceutical that once you stop taking it, the effect goes away. This actually helps the brain re-regulate, get back on track, and work more efficiently in this particular area. When you're doing a cycle of it, I often get, how long should I take it? Well, it depends on how you're using it. If you're just using it situationally, you might take it one day and then you don't take it again, or you might have a stressful week coming up, so you take it for a week. I give people the option depending on what their goals are. If they're just really in a high stress state, I'll say, let's do a little bit of a higher dose before bed for 2 weeks, or sometimes 28 days, and then get off of it. Let your system heal, re-regulate, and get off of it. if it's something that you're just doing as a longevity protocol, you're just trying to do a little reset here or there, I've had people take it 3 times a week over an 8-week period, spreading it out at a lower dose. You have to look at the context. I know in my peptide guide, it says 4 to 8 weeks, 3 times a week, and it gives you a certain range. It really is the context of what you're trying to accomplish or what your situation is. Okay, let's talk about the side effects. Some people experience a mild headache early on. I did not have that trouble. Temporary fatigue or vivid dreams. I did experience that. First time I took it in the injectable form, I took it around 7 o'clock at night. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling a little sleepy, but in a good way, right? Maybe I should just say I felt chill. Definitely calm me down. It's also why I suggest taking it at night. I didn't experience vivid dreams, but that is something some people report. Quiet feeling that some interpret as emotionally neutral. If you're one of these people that the brain just constantly go and you're just rapid fire talking, which I tend to do, it can give you that smooth calmness where it just really quiets things down. All right, we talked about cycling it. I got out of order here. I skipped over my notes, but I want to go back to this. People often ask me, why do I cycle this? I want to talk a little bit about that. It's helping the nervous system recalibrate. The benefits tend to persist even after stopping, at least for a period of time. You just need to remember that it's regulatory. It's telling your brain how to regulate these things in a more efficient way. So it's not forcing the brain to do something differently. It's re-regulating how the brain does something so it works more efficiently. Once you've given it enough of the peptide to do that, you back off of it. You also want to avoid receptor desensitization, okay, even if the risk is low, because you're probably not at a high risk of that, and it hasn't been shown to cause tolerance, dependence, or withdrawal, so that's important. Personally, when I took it, I did get a diminishing return at the same dose. So I did have to titrate up a little bit. That may be just more that you're getting used to how it's making you feel and so you're not recognizing that it's actually still doing the same thing. But I definitely felt like I had to titrate up. You don't want to stay on something where you're having to titrate up to really high doses. So you do want to remain sensitive to the peptide. And cycling on and off of it is super important. The question I often get is, what do I stack this with? A lot of people love to stack peptides, including myself. The one that it's most often stacked with is C-Max, which I will do an episode on in the near future. People often pair Celenc and C-Max because they work on different but complementary brain pathways. So Celenc helps calm the nervous system, reduce anxiety, and stabilize mood. And C-Max enhances focus, motivation, and cognitive performance. You'll see these often put together in the same vial or intranasally in the same spray. I personally prefer to take them separately. C-Max in the morning for focus and Celenc at night to help get me out of that fight or flight mode, calm down and rest and digest. You can try it. I know a lot of people take it together and love the benefits. This is going to be unique to you. That's just my preference. Often Celenc and oxytocin. And if you listen to my podcast last week, this one won't surprise you. They're often stacked because they both support emotional regulation through different pathways. Celenc helps calm anxiety, reduce stress response, stabilize mood. Oxytocin helps support feelings of connection, safety, and emotional openness, while both contributing to help regulate cortisol and the nervous system. They work a little bit differently. Together, they promote this sense of calm, trust, and emotional balance without sedation, which is why people use this stack for stress resilience and overall emotional well-being. Celenc and D-SIP, I think, are great to take together. I've personally done this. This is more about stress recovery and sleep quality, which if you listen to me at all, sleep is one of those things that I struggle with. D-SIP supports sleep initiation and depth, and Celenc reduces nighttime anxiety and nervous system overaction, so you can have that really sound deep sleep. This stack is often used with people that feel wired but tired, have stress-related sleep issues, wake up mentally exhausted. I don't normally have that, but I know a lot of people that do. Celenc, again, just calms the nervous system, and D-SIP helps the body into recovery mode. They both have elements that help with cortisol balance. So it's a great one if you're in this fight or flight all the time. That's a great combo. All right. Before we close out, I want to tell you about my personal experience. This is my most recent. I've used it in the past, but my most recent has been just the last couple of weeks because I have experienced a lot more stress that I've been under in a long time, and I have not been able to calm down in a way that feels good to me. And so I was sitting here one night recently, and I was like, I don't know why I didn't think of this sooner. I took 500 mcgs, and it's about 7 o'clock. And I was watching TV, and I got really sleepy, even though a lot of the research says it doesn't have a sedating effect. For me, it felt like I was tired, when really it wasn't like I fell asleep in the chair or anything like that. I didn't go to bed right away, but I just felt more relaxed. And that night, I slept so well. And I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, I needed that sleep so much. Because often what happens when I get stressed is I'll go to sleep, but then I'll wake up and my mind will start racing and I can't go back to sleep. And I just start thinking about a million different things. And then it's 4 a.m. I'm like, I'm just going to get up. And so it has really, over the last couple of weeks, helped me with that. And I will say that I definitely am starting to feel, in the midst of the circumstances, because my circumstances have not changed. It's just a stressful time with all the things that are going on right now. So none of that's changed, but I am feeling better adapt to deal with it. And if you think about all the things that we talked about in regards to Celent today, that makes sense, right? So I don't know why it always surprises me when I'm like, oh my gosh, that really worked. We think it has to be this really powerful drug to have a benefit. And that can backfire, as we all know, because of all the side effects and things. I have actually really enjoyed the experience that I've been having on Celent. I'm going to run it for probably another week or two, and then I will cycle off of it. In the past, when I've used it, when I cycled off, I didn't feel the need to get back on it. I really think it's a good one to use when you are going through a lot of high stress, or you just need a nervous system reset. This is a great one to incorporate. And like I said, there are those other things, oxytocin, D-Sib, Max, that you can use complementary with it as well. I'm using it on its own right now. I've been loving the benefit that I've been getting from it. So my husband was on it. He didn't particularly like the way that it made him feel. It didn't make him feel bad, but he's also one of these people that is constantly in go. And he felt like it doled that out in him. And I would argue that was getting your nervous system back in balance. So he didn't have as positive of experience with it that I did. So I always like to give more than just my own personal experience, because not everything is for everyone. But I will tell you that I've actually really liked it. My daughter, who can struggle with anxiety from time to time, has also really enjoyed taking a cycle of this at night. She feels like it's calming her down at night, and she's been getting better sleep as well. So we've been looking at her Oura Ring metrics, and it's been beneficial for her. Take it with a grain of salt. Do your own research and then decide what's best for you. It's not a one size fits all. And I think that wraps up this episode. If you liked this episode, leave a review for the podcast. That is extremely helpful for me. Go sign up for my email list. I don't send spam email. It's just a way to get in touch, because we're getting more censored on Instagram and TikTok. It's a good way to get in touch should those get shut down, which is happening right now. Oh, there is a discount code for the Peptique if you're interested in research peptides. You can email me. Do not email me at the Peptique. My West Wellness email is in the podcast notes. You can email me for the free peptide guide. We just redid it. There's a ton more information in it. So if you have an old version of that and you want the new one, email me and I will send that over to you. And what else? You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. I haven't been posting a lot lately because I've been really busy. But a lot of the posts that I do put up get censored anyway. So that hasn't been a huge priority for me, although I'm hoping to get back on track with that. I think that's it. Thank you for listening today, for tuning in. Thank you so much for all of your support. I couldn't do what I do without each and every one of you. I love what I do, and I'm just so blessed and grateful. So until next time, everyone, have a blessed day.